Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
We are in the Climb series, which is all from Matthew 5. Did anyone bring their Bibles today? Open it up, make some notes in it. Matthew 5, and it's all, it's the Sermon on the Mount. So it's the first preach, I guess, that Jesus preached in his life here on earth. And it goes from chapter 5 all the way through through chapter 7. And so it's three chapters just full of gold and full of incredibly helpful things for our life. And so we wanted to call this series The Climb because we feel like every single one of us is on some sort of a climb. We're all on this mountain and we're just trying to keep moving forward. We're trying to climb closer to Jesus, trying to get ahead. And so we love that Jesus climbed a mountain and he preached these incredibly valuable tools to us that we can delve into. So I'm going to be speaking from chapter 6 in verse 25, and it talks about do not worry. Do not worry. And I know that on my journey, on my mountain, I get very, very worried at times. I am afraid of heights. I don't love confined spaces or feeling the fear of falling. All of that, climbing up on my mountain is something that is filled with worry for me. And chances are it is for you as well. I was listening to the radio this week and they've just released a study, actually. It's from the Angus Reid Institute. And it says that it's for a Canadian money study. It says nearly one third of Canadians feel very stressed about money. Very stressed about money. And that's on a regular basis, so often or all the time. So we're not just talking once in our life. We're talking this is a regular occurrence for Canadians. This is our people. More than one quarter of Canadians are wondering if they're going to be able to make ends meet. And the interesting thing of this study is that it was actually, the preface of it was that you would answer on your personal experiences. So they didn't ask anybody's income or what they make or what their expenses are. All it asked was their experiences. And it's interesting because in Canada, we would think that we have a strong economy. We have lots of job opportunities. We have a lot of great wealth in this country. Yet for some reason, we're plagued by this stress of money. We're plagued by the worry of our circumstances. And so I want to say right here, right now, chances are, if it's one quarter of people are struggling to pay their bills, one third are very stressed about money, I would guess that this entire room has felt worry or stress at some time in their life. And are surrounded by people in their daily lives that carry worry and stress and anxiety. And the thing is it doesn't just hit our finances. This is just finances that this study was talking about. It hits us in our relationships. It hits us in what decisions we're making, in our career moves, in our family lives. It can hit us in every single area of our lives. I don't think that one person here today, one person in this city is free from worry entirely or has never experienced it. I don't believe that. I think every single one of us has. And I know that because Jesus has put it right here in his Bible. He's put it here because he knows that we were going to experience it 2,000 years later. He's talking about it here. They were experiencing it. Worry is not a new trend. It's not a new thing. It's been experienced since day one, and we are still experiencing it today. But I love that in his first sermon, where he's talking about some of the most important things on how to live your life, he put a scripture in here about not worrying. It matters to him. He doesn't just want you to sweep it under the rug, think that just push through and not deal with it. He actually wants us free from worry. Actually wants us free from it. That's an actual possibility, as hard as that may seem. So let's read the scripture. Starts in verse 25. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. I love that. Do not worry. Okay, great. Well, so how do I just stop worrying? He goes on what you will eat or drink or about your body. Anyone ever been challenged by that? Worrying about what I'm going to eat or drink, worrying about, no, I'm the only one. You're all liars. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Ouch. He knew that we would still be dealing with that 2,000 years later. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not more valuable than the birds of the sky? Are you not more valuable than everything else that he's created? We are actually more valuable. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And I love how that's worded because it makes no sense. You're like, yeah, no, of course worry doesn't add a single hour of your life. But how many times have we actually done it? Have we actually thought, if I avoid that, then I'll be safer, therefore I'll live longer? That's what it means. You worry to think that you can actually add time to your life, which we cannot. We are not in control. And so then 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Yes, I believe that's talking about clothes, but I think it's also talking about our identity and how people see us. So Solomon was seen as a wise, incredible leader in the day. And what he wore identified that. It identified the fruit of his life. And so I believe that he's saying, don't worry about what people see on you. Don't worry about the thoughts of other people and how they view you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I know I worry about it at times, but let's keep going. Is there some tips in here? And then it says, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Burn. You of little faith. That line, man, he says it a lot in the Bible, and it's just like, just digs right in there. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So he's not saying don't worry because we should be so pious that we don't have any needs and that, you know, we don't need anything. No, he's saying he knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly the circumstance that you're facing. He knows exactly the thing that you are up against. He knows the mountain that you are on, that you are battling, and he gives you exactly what you need. You don't need to worry about it. And so then it says, but seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So I believe that every single one of us carries an element of worry. And so right now as I'm speaking, I'm going to ask you to try and think about what that is. What is that thing that Jesus is speaking to you about that he wants you to let go of, that he wants you to get under control, that he wants you free from, so that you can actually experience life to the fullest of how he has a life for you. He actually has a full life for you. And let me tell you, I completely get it. So let me preface this as well with worry can masquerade itself as fear. It can masquerade as concern. Concern is also worry. It can masquerade as doubt or indecision or even anxiety. And so I want to say, for starters, I'm not discussing the heaviness of mental health per se. So I believe, this is our stand as a church, that mental health is very similar to physical health. So there are things that you can do in your physical health when you get sick to help make yourself better. You can exercise, you can eat better, you can look after yourself, you can drink some water, you can have some sleep, and it helps. Yet there are some things that come on us that we cannot control and that we have to see a doctor and that we need some help with. But let me tell you, mental health is the same. You can also exercise, look after yourself, sleep a little, think positively, wait on Jesus. But that doesn't necessarily give the instant fix. And if you do need to see a doctor, that is completely okay. And if you need medication, that is completely okay. But let me say this, the same way that Jesus can heal cancer and heal diabetes and heal other diseases, he can also heal mental health diseases, okay? Just have to preface that, because I don't want anyone at the end of this saying, well, that doesn't apply to me because my circumstance isn't what she's explaining. Let me tell you, it's all of us. Okay? This explains everything. And the reason I can say that is because I have struggled with worry on the daily for pretty much as long as I can remember. I can't remember a day where I haven't had to battle worry or fear or anxiety in my life. And I'm going to talk a little bit more, I guess, about that later in a bit more of a personal story. But I do want to say this, that whatever you focus on and create a habit of, you make stronger. And you practice it and it becomes stronger in your life. And so what this whole scripture is saying is actually diverting our practice, diverting our habits to the kingdom of God so that that can get stronger in our lives instead of the negativity getting stronger in our lives. So what is the answer? So you're on this mountain, and the reason I wanted to preach this is because I believe there's a lot of us on this mountain that have either stopped. So I don't want you to stop on the mountain. I don't want worry and fear and anxiety to get a hold of you to an extent that you make camp halfway up the mountain and you stop going because it's too much. I do not want that to be anyone in this room. I also don't want you to keep going and exhausting yourself. I don't want you to keep climbing and climbing without Jesus. Because what is the benefit of that? You are just going to continually exhaust yourself, get weaker, and eventually either stop and make camp or get off the mountain completely. And I've seen this too many times already in our short journey of being pastors. I've seen people camp and stop. I've seen people keep going in their own strength, not in Jesus' strength, and it never ends well. And I've seen people completely jump off the mountain altogether. The answer to your worry and anxiety is not to jump off the mountain. It is not to just go back to base camp and say, well, I guess that wasn't for me. Trials and everything that comes against us is only there to make us stronger, to make us better, and to make us better people. So I believe that we can actually conquer worry, that we can actually be free from worry. We can battle it when we know that he cares about us. So when we forget that he cares, I think worry can seep in. So when we know that he cares about us, about every single one of you, he actually cares about you. When we can remember that he is greater than any circumstance we face, absolutely anything that we face, he is greater. But we can forget that and let worry seep in. And then I think we can forget where we're going. We can forget that our goal is actually going up the mountain. When we forget that we have a purpose and that we have a responsibility to bring Jesus to more people and we start to focus on ourselves, then worry can start to seep in because we start to try and control everything around our situation to create this perfect little life for ourselves. But that's not what it's about. It's not about a perfect life for ourselves. It's about other people. So my first point today is that he cares. He cares. If we can just get this one point in our hearts, set us up for a win, is that he cares about us. He actually cares. And the fact that he even starts this scripture with that. So he says, do not worry. But then he goes into the birds of the sky and they're so looked after. But do you know that you're more valuable than them? Do you actually know that? I sometimes forget that. I can look at creation and I can say, my goodness, creation is so beautiful. It is so perfect. It is so without blemish, without fault. Yet I look at myself and I see everything that I've done. I see the thoughts in my mind. I see the decisions that I've made. And I disqualify myself and start to think that I'm not valuable, that he doesn't actually care about me. But can I tell you that that's a lie? There's this scripture, I love this scripture, in Psalm 139, and it addresses this very fact of us thinking that perhaps he doesn't care about us. And it says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. He doesn't just know the perfect you. He doesn't just know the you that you portray to everybody else. He knows you inside and outside. You know, when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. Do you know that he actually knows what you're thinking? And yet he still loves you and cares about you? That blows my mind at times because my thoughts are just a mess. But he loves me and cares for me. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. He knows absolutely everything that you have ever done, whether you've done it right or wrong, whatever. And he cares about you. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. He even knows the dumb stuff you're going to say. And yet he loves you for it and he cares about you. And you keep going down and it talks about if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, it's all very beautiful and poetic, and read it in your own time because there's a lot in there. But down in verse 14, well actually 13, it says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful and I know that full well. Do you know that his works are wonderful when he created you? Do you actually know that? That he actually cares, that he actually formed you perfectly, and that he loves every single intricate little detail about you, and that he wants you here. He actually cares for you more than the birds of the sky. I'm sorry, vegans, but he does. He cares for you more. And I believe if this world would just start to care about people a little bit more than what we care about other things, we'll start to see a difference. We'll start to see Jesus' love actually infecting our lives. And then in verse 17, it says, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. That's amazing. It's amazing that his thoughts are outnumbered. His good thoughts. He's not just like, yeah, that person's a good person. His good thoughts towards you are completely outnumbered. You can't even count them. It blows my mind because it is so counter what we're used to. It might not be at all what you got brought up in. You might not have had parents that loved you like this. Chances are you didn't, because no one loves you the way Jesus loves you. And so when you're on that mountain, I want you to know that you do not have to climb for him to love you, that he already loves you. So you're not climbing and climbing and struggling and struggling and straining for him to love you and care about you. He already cares about you. He already loves you. So you can climb from a place of full value already. You don't need to prove your strength, and he already knows where you've been and where you're going. And I believe getting our value and understanding who we are, when we can get that right in the very beginning, we can conquer worry. Because for me, when I think that I'm not worthy, I expect the problems to come at me. And I don't expect myself to be able to actually conquer them. And I don't expect that God's actually going to come through for me, because I don't believe that I'm worthy of being saved. And so when we can get that worth in us, it's interesting how all of a sudden our mindsets start to change. We start to realize, no, I am worthy of him coming and saving me in this battle. I am a conqueror through him. And we actually start to see the battle from a completely different mindset. But if we continue to believe that we're not worthy, we'll never actually break through whatever is coming against us. And so the second point, so he cares about us. We have a value. But the second point is that he is greater. He is actually greater. So can any one of you add a single hour of your life by worrying? Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? I love that at the very end of this Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7:28, it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, so saying all of this, these three verses, three chapters of incredible preaching, after he had said all of these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Quite unlike what they had already been hearing. And I want to tell you that he is greater. He is greater. He is greater than any self-help thing that could tell you. So I just got an Apple Watch for my birthday. Every now and then it beeps a little and tells me to breathe. And I'm like, yeah, okay, breathing's going to help me, but it ain't going to help me as much as Jesus is going to help me. But we get caught up in like, maybe I can think myself better. Maybe I can just self-help ourselves to a point where we can actually be better. But let me tell you, nothing compares to Jesus. He is greater than anything that you are facing. And I want to tell you a little bit about my story. So I have battled with worry and anxiety for as long as I can remember. I literally cannot remember a time where I have not had to battle this stupid thing in my life. But I tell you, I've won every single time so far. That's why I'm still here. But when I had my second child, Kenzie, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And you may be battling something right now that isn't even your fault, that something has come against you, anxiety, or something has hit you hard, and it is not your fault. And I got hit so hard when I had Kenzie that it got to the point where I was struggling to even leave the house. I was having panic attacks about my children, worried that something would happen to them, and it was paralyzing. And maybe that's you right now. Maybe there's something that you're facing and it feels paralyzing. It feels like you can't even move because you don't even know how to battle it. But let me tell you, He is greater. He is greater. And the thing that helped me was knowing that He cared about me. Knowing that He cared about my children more than I cared about my children. That was a revelation for me. That He actually cared about them more, and that I didn't have to control any situations because God had me, because He is greater. And that doesn't mean that bad things are not going to happen. Bad things are going to keep happening because it's life, and life sucks, and bad stuff happens. But what He's saying, by way He's saying He's great, is that He can take you through anything. He will use it all for the good. He will make you stronger through it. He will make you a better person, more able to help other people see how incredible Jesus is. We can call on His power. We can actually call on His power. And so it's not just teaching. And what we do up here might seem like teaching, but there's also times where you can experience heaven. You can actually experience this person who is greater than anything. And in my moments of anxiety and stress, the best thing that I could do was to worship. It was to worship. I realized, back to the habits thing, I had formed a habit and I was starting to feed the anxiety. I had started to identify with it and I was feeding it. So I was reading articles that I should not have been reading about 101 ways that your children can die, basically. Which anyone that has children knows that the second you have children, it's like those things just flash up on your Facebook like nothing else. And I was feeding it. So I was feeding all these worst case possible scenarios through my spirit and through my soul. But when I started to feed my soul and my spirit with the Word of God and with worship, with the person who is greater than anything, it actually made a difference. It actually broke. And I can stand here now saying that I haven't had a panic attack in years, but I know that it's something that I will continually battle. And so I am very focused in making sure that I do not feed it the wrong stuff, that I am continually feeding it the Word of God. In Psalm 121, I love this. There's this beautiful passage about how much He is there for us and how great He truly is. So that mountain that you're climbing up, that mountain, He actually created the mountains. So you get the privilege of being able to climb up the mountain with Him, but you're climbing up the mountain with the one who created the mountain. So He knows the way. He knows where all the danger spots are, and He knows where all the good spots are, and we get to do that. So in Psalm 121, it says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. And where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He doesn't let our feet slip. It might feel like it at times, but let me tell you, he won't let you. If you are holding on to him, it will not slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Even though things come against us, they will not destroy us. They just make us stronger when we're with him. The Lord will keep you from all harm, and he will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And I love that picture. I love that picture. He actually watches over us. So he is greater. Let us never forget it. Let us never forget that he is greater than anything that we face. What we face will try and masquerade itself as being so big, so uncontrollable, so hard to battle. But he's greater. I promise you that. That has been my experience. And then so my last point, just as I'm closing now, is to actually take action. So he talks about our value. He talks about how much he cares about us, so we can get that right. We can learn that he cares about us, and then we can readjust our mindset to know that he is greater than anything. We can look up instead of looking down. We know that he is greater. But then that last thing is we actually need to take some action. We actually need to seek first his kingdom. It doesn't say then the kingdom will be there with you. It says seek first his kingdom, and then all these things will be added to you. We need to take action, guys. We can't just get stale and placid and just sit there and expect for Jesus to move. It actually takes something from us. It actually takes us to take a step. It actually requires it of us. And the reason why is because it makes us stronger. It's not to cause us any harm, but it causes us to be stronger. If we don't walk through something, we don't get stronger. And he really, really wants freedom in our lives. And the reason why I believe that he asks us to seek first the kingdom is because worry is really, really easy to do. It's a real natural response, and it's really easy to do for us to go there. But trust is hard. How can we trust something that we don't know? And I don't think that he's asking us to trust blindly. He's actually asking us to seek first the kingdom so that we can trust something that we know. He's actually asking us to seek after him, seek after his word, seek after his presence, seek after worship with him, and trust him through that. And so we can actually trust something that we know, but it requires us to take action. It requires us to do something. It requires us to carve out some time in our morning where we just spend time in his presence, where we put on some worship music, where we don't open up our emails straight away and go straight to that state of worry, but that we focus on him, that we focus on him. So the actual opposite of worry, perhaps, isn't a peace and not doing anything. Perhaps the opposite of worry is actually action. And that we kind of know that deep down inside of us. And so we try and action it with things that we think will make a difference, like reading articles and controlling our lives and setting up all these boundaries and everything all nice and safe in our nice little world. But that's not the action that we're required to take. We're required to seek after him. So let me encourage you that Jesus wants you to be free. What is this all about? Why am I even encouraging you to deal with this worry? Why am I even telling you that he cares? Why am I even telling you to take a step? Why am I even telling you that he is greater? I'm telling you because he wants you to be free. He actually wants you to be free. He wants you to live your best life. He has great things in store for you. He wants you to keep climbing up that mountain with him because, man, the view at the top is incredible. When you get to that top and you look down and you see everything that you have been through, it is worth it. You might be tired, your legs are exhausted, your arms are exhausted, you're puffed, you're out of breath, but man, it's worth it. It's so worth it. And so I believe that He is calling all of us right here to be free. And I believe that He wants that freedom for every single one of us today. And so what I'm just going to ask right now is that everybody across the room, just close your eyes, bow your heads. Because I want to give you the opportunity to start a relationship with Jesus. Start a relationship with this person that I have been talking about that wants you to be free. He is somebody who actually is greater. He is somebody that is greater than anything that you might be facing right now. Yet He wants a personal relationship with you, and that you can do that. You can have that with Him, and it is the best decision you'll ever make. So as everyone has their heads bowed and eyes closed, respecting the people's privacy, I just want to ask you, if you want to begin a relationship with this Jesus, I just want to ask you to raise your hand right now.